Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10-31-17.
DL working Jamal Crawford into the post. Flares to the corner. Touch pass to Ingles. Bounce pass to Hayward. Penetrates to the 45. Scoops the favors. Power dribble. Ball fake and a finish.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
It's Locked On Jazz.
We'll look at it. Any signs of major concern for the Jazz and any good signs going forward? Plus, homers, come on, lighten up, take it as a compliment. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's program. It is the Wednesday edition, the 19th of April edition of Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Locked On NBA has a fun conversation with Lee Jenkins. I hope you enjoy that, so make sure you grab it, kind of an in-depth look at the biggest people in the sorry, someone just called. That's my ringtone right there. The stock for three game winner in Houston is my ringtone. Anyway, we'll break down today's ballgame, do our regular pins across the world, all that. Today's show is brought to you by Blue Apron. I think I've told you already that I've really enjoyed our time with Blue Apron. It's been an eye-opener. My wife's a great cook, and so I never thought that we would be, I don't know, she just does such an incredible job. Why would we go do Blue Apron? But what I found out instead is, one, it relieves a great burden on her to have a good meal from great partnerships, 150 local farms, fisheries, so you know that the ingredients are terrific. And then it's all individually wrapped, perfect amount, so you don't have to take the time to go shopping. It relieves a little burden on her while she's shuffling kids each and every place around everywhere while I'm traveling the country, and the kids get a great meal. The other one is that the kids have had a great time making the meals with her. So if you don't know what Blue Apron is, it's the number one fresh ingredient recipe delivery service in the country. You go onto their site. If you use the promo code LOCKJAZZ, lock without an E, LOCKJAZZ, blueapron.com/lockjazz, you get your first three meals for free. And you choose out what menu you want. It's affordable, about $10 per person per meal. It comes, and you get to make yourself a high-end, terrific meal, usually about 30 minutes, maybe 40. Kids can do it with you because all the ingredients are nicely proportioned out for you, and it gives you that fabulous personal experience. And the food is just terrific. We've had great, great meals. We had a nice gnocchi the other night. We had a really good cod. Great creativity, parmesan-crusted chicken with a creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli was the other night, spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta. So there's been a lot of really sweet and sour salmon with baby bok choy, carrot and ginger fried rice was another night. It's been really, really fun for the family. I'd suggest it. Check it out. BlueApron.com/LOCKJAZZ, and you get your first three meals for free. That's Blue Apron, today's sponsor of the program. I appreciate you supporting those sponsors. Empty the Noggin, Jazz Game Rewind, they're all there for you in case you have missed any of them along the way, so feel free to grab them. This is from Dr. David Judd. Coming to you from Valencia, California, Magic Mountain. I'm a loyal Jazz fan in Lakerland. My Jazz fandom started when I was 7 years old in second grade. That was my first year playing junior jazz. I played 10 years all the way through high school until 1995. Every year I looked with great anticipation because as junior jazz participant, we got one ticket to one jazz game. I loved going to the Salt Palace, then the Delta Center on my junior jazz team. I didn't care. We sat in the nosebleeds and saw the Clippers each year because we got to see Stockton and Malone. The junior jazz program solidified my love for the jazz organization, allowed me to follow through all the highs and lows of my grandfather, father, brother, and friends over 30 years. The Jazz have been a great part of the fabric of my life for those relationships, and I listen to Tip Off and all your content I have from the beginning. Order League Pass each year and try to go to a game each year. Love the Jazz. Appreciate all you do. Support and promote the team. That is Dr. David Judd in Valencia, California. All right, let's get to our Locked On. Oh, wait, he sent me a he didn't send me. He sent me an update, but I think he is. I think it's all the same. Anyway, let's get to the fun part of the night, which is the loss, unfortunately. Not the fun part, but the good details. Sorry, I'm having minor headphone issues today, so it's very strange. I can't hear myself when I'm talking, which as a broadcaster gives you kind of a disconnect about what's going on. I can't really figure out why I can't hear myself today, but we'll see if I can fix that and not have some of the same issues. There are some areas I think that are good signs to last night's game, and I think there are some signs that might be a little disconcerting to last night's game. One of them, the disconcerting one to me last night, was the three offensive rebounds. When we've gotten clicking, we get boards. The only times all year we've been below three offensive rebounds were against Memphis, when we had a really good offensive game and an offensive rating of 113. We had four that game. We had a game against Oklahoma City where we had four, but that's because we had another incredible offensive game where we were one offensive rating of 123. We had a game against Denver where we only got four offensive rebounds. We had 47 defensive rebounds that night. We had an offensive rating of 105. That wasn't great, but we shut them down. And then we had in the fourth game of the year, we had two offensive rebounds against San Antonio, but we won that game with an offensive rating of 114. Last night, without Rudy Gobert, we suddenly did not get any offensive rebounds. And the concern that I have there is just, and this is the biggest concern I have, is a little bit of just a math equation. So if you kind of play around here for a second with the numbers last night, our offense of rating was a 102.0. It's not great. It's not great. It's not as bad as the 83 against the Clippers in the regular season, the 76.4, the 99 in the three losses. So it's actually a really good sign that from a progress standpoint, we're getting a little bit better against the Clippers. The problem is, from a defensive standpoint, if you go to the regular season, we allowed a 97, a 95, a 118, and a 113. We're going to, without Gobert, I don't think we're going to be able to keep them under an offensive rating of about 108 or so. And last night they're at 111. So we've got to figure out a way to have a little more offense. So we actually had a pretty decent offensive night last night. You know, we shot 40 effective field goal percentage of 52.9, which is a little bit above our average, and it's definitely above what the Clippers allow. But we did have second chance points. We had six second chance points the entire game. If you have Rudy Gobert there and you go grab, you know, one or two more play, you know, buckets in the paint off a offensive rebound follow, and so let's just say you put up another, you know, 6 points. Well, now all of a sudden, one, you have a chance to win, and two, your offensive rating is up to about 108, 109, 110, and you're in the range where you need to win the game. From an offensive standpoint, I really actually think, despite Hayward being 5 of 15 and Joe Johnson being 6 of 15, you know, Hayward, by the way, ends up with an effective field goal percentage of pretty close to, I think he's 6.5 to 15, so it's, you know, it's a little below his regular, but it's not crazy. The offense last night actually, I think, was good because they got 25 three-point attempts. That's a really high rate for them to get 36% of their shots were three-point shots. That's the best they've had against the Clippers all year. It's been a problem to get those looks against the Clippers, and they got it. They went to the line and hit 17 of 22 from the line, so their free throw rate was pretty high. They controlled the turnovers. I'm not sure they had a fourth quarter turnover, So they're 15% turnovers. That's about it. They just, the lack. Now, part of this is an incredible focus on trying to get back defensively. And the second is that just without Rudy, you don't get those offensive rebounds. And that's an issue. That's, to me, that's the number one offensive issue moving forward, is that no, everything else I think was pretty good, but you just don't get those easy two or three looks, maybe one a quarter, and let's say you only convert on three of the four. It's just a subtle little change, but it moves you from 45 to 47% shooting, and it moves your offensive efficiency from 102 to 108. Now you're really in the game a bit differently than you were otherwise. I thought the Jazz were really good last night. There were three times in which the Jazz, I thought, ended up having real big opportunities to bust the game, put a little heat on the Clippers, didn't get those three chances, didn't make them. There was a George Hill three at the end of the first. There was a Gordon Hayward and Joe Johnson threes in the fourth that were wide open, good looks. You're not going to make them all, but it is a make-or-miss league, and those were misses. And had those gone last night, I would have been really curious to see how the Clippers reacted. To me, that was kind of the next step in the game, is to see whether or not you could have gotten the Clippers tight. The Jazz last night on uncontested shots were 10 of 27, and the Clippers were 17 of 35. 35 is a lot, uncontested looks by the Clippers. If you go back to game one, the Jazz shot them better. Right? They just, Joe Johnson was 0 for 6 on uncontested looks in the game last night. And that's, you know, so in turn, we just, you know, we didn't get some. They hit a few. It's I don't want to make it that simplistic, but I think, you know, because the Clippers outplayed the Jazz, came and hit them early. I thought it took the tempo of the game, blasted the Jazz in the opening moments. Can't really say I was surprised by that. The Jazz fought through it. The Jazz fight has been tremendous. The truth is, without Rudy Gobert, they're better than the Jazz are, right? I mean, they're a better team. They have the best player on the floor in Chris Paul. They have the second best player on the floor in Blake Griffin. Then Gordon Hayward falls in there somewhere, and then DeAndre Jordan, who was just a beast last night. DeAndre Jordan, I said on the broadcast, looked like a Ford F-150, and everybody else looked like a Subaru. I mean, he's just bigger and stronger and more physical than anybody out on the floor. And he was just terrific. This series is going to just be really hard. It was going to be really hard if Rudy was healthy. Without Rudy, it gets really, really hard. And we saw that last night. But I thought the Jazz put together a terrific effort and fight all night to be in it, and just couldn't get through that hump to put the pressure on the Clippers to see if they could get tight. Now, this is an experienced Clipper team. There's no, you know, now you're dealing with a team that they're going on the road for the playoffs, and the fact that there's, you know, core four guys that played 2,200 minutes together begins to work to their advantage. There's nothing going to be here that they haven't seen before. There's no experience. They're not going to be overwhelmed by the homer crowd that is Vivint Smart Home Arena. I think we can push our guys, but it's not going to over. I don't think you're going to see them get overwhelmed. I mean, this group has played with mixed results an awful lot of playoff games. If we go back, you know, they go to Memphis their first year. They lose all three to Memphis. Their next year, they go on the road. They go win that first one, Oklahoma City, before losing that series. They win this last time they lost game one in a playoff series at home. They won game three in Oakland against the Warriors, 98-96, lost four, and then closed it out by winning the final two at home. They won at Houston before collapsing. They won at San Antonio twice in 14-15. So they won three road games that year, and then last year lost. They had lost eight of their last 10 playoff games before last night, but they, you know, they've come to, they have five, as a collective group, they have five big playoff wins on the road that they can go back and look at in their history. Defensively, the Jazz, they weren't great last night. They're dealing with the best point guard in the league. One of the things that is a concern to me is whether the Jazz could defend in the 8 minutes Jeff Withey played. They were okay last night, 104.1. When Favors was on the floor, the defensive rating was 111.1. What's interesting last night is they couldn't score. They struggled to score when Derek was on the floor offensively. And there's just not a lot of things to do with Derek offensively. He's not rim rolling because he just doesn't have that bounce. So you're not popping him because he's not a great shooter. You're setting the pick and he's going to roll, but he doesn't roll with that same pizzazz that the length of Rudy does or that he did when he was younger and healthier. So you're really playing him kind of around the rim as a dunker, but that clogs things up, and then you're trying to sneak that pass into him, and if they drop somebody down, then that gets difficult to do. The key stretch to me of the game was the end of the first half, and this is, you know, frankly, one shot. This is where the one shot by George Hill that just doesn't go could have just changed that. The key stretch to me of the game last night is Chris Paul gets in foul trouble. The Jazz, it's tied at 33 in the second quarter. Chris Paul, that's not the right score. What was the, it's 3:33 left in the third quarter. Chris Paul, we're down 45-37. Chris Paul goes out, and the Jazz end up only cutting that lead, or end up losing that lead by one. So what was a 8-point game becomes a 9-point game by halftime with Chris Paul off the floor. The Clippers have one of the largest discrepancies in the league when Chris Paul's off the floor. And that was evident last night as well. When they're starting fives on the floor, they're a lot better than we are right now. Their starting five last night, I believe, was plus 12 when on the floor together. The Jazz, are going to have to figure out what to do about that, but that's not unique to the Jazz. The Clippers' starting lineup is the second-best starting lineup in all of the NBA. The only lineup that was better than the Clippers' starting five this year was the Warriors. So when the Clippers' starting five's on the floor, they're probably, particularly with Gobert out, they're going to have an edge. What the Jazz have to do is, in the limited time that Chris Paul's on the bench, in last night's case it was for 15 minutes because of foul trouble, but it's only going to be about 10 on other nights. The Jazz, and that's the bad part about last night, is I think that's the window the Jazz had in last night's game, is that the Clippers' foul trouble did not allow their starting five to stay on the floor very much. They played 20 minutes together last night, and they were plus 13. And it's hard to get stops on that group. People couldn't get stops in the regular season. They shot 54% against the Jazz, 50% from three, and scored 46 points in 26 minutes. The Jazz just didn't take advantage enough of the 15 other minutes Chris Paul was off the floor. You know, the Jazz were plus one in those minutes. And frankly, you've probably got to be a lot better than that if you're going to beat the Clippers, is take advantage of those times and minutes. Our starters, which, you know, aren't as good as theirs, were minus 10. And then the interesting one is that the Joe Johnson small lineup with Rodney Hood didn't work as well with with Derek Favors. That, you know, the lineup that caused them such problems, Joe Johnson was plus one for the game, but it was overall was not some of the lineups that you thought were good when you had Hayward, Hill, Ingles, Joe Johnson, and Derek Favors, that they just didn't hit shots. One of six in the 6 minutes they were together. But the, you know, still plus one in a 8-point loss with Joe on the floor. Let's see, what other notes do I have for you on last night? As I think I mentioned, I love the 25 three attempts. I think that's a really, really good sign. Chris Paul's great, right? Chris Paul's getting in the lane, getting to where he wants to go. I don't know if I have an answer for you on how, you know, that's going to change. Their amount of shots at the rim, obviously you've got to try to protect that better. But, I mean, they came with incredible, incredible force last night, early in that game. To their credit, they know what they're doing. They know how to play. They've been in these experiences before. Some of their memories are bad. We've got to push them to have those come back. But they played with a force and a tenacity early in the game that we didn't match, but I'm not sure it is necessarily possible to match. Andy Larson at KSL.com had a really good point that the Jazz have struggled. The Jazz have struggled with early starts against the Clippers in every single game. One thing that I find of interest to keep an eye on is I felt as though the Clippers' pace slowed as the game went on. I'm not sure if I can prove that, but they played with that force early, and as the game went on, it felt as though that force went away a little bit. And I wonder how the altitude impacts their ability to play with that kind of force. That's a question I would have of whether or not they can do it. Jazz had 18 deflections last night, which is pretty high. That means they were actually pretty active defensively, and almost everybody had two. So I think at times the Clippers took it to the Jazz a little bit last night, but I think that's really frankly because they're probably better than we are with the guys they had on the floor in a lot of those circumstances. And the Jazz did what you probably could expect and fought back, played hard, stayed active. I thought the Jazz played pretty well. If the Jazz play that with that tenacity every night of this series, I think they have a chance to win this series, even without Rudy. In regards to Rudy, I don't know a darn thing. I haven't talked to anyone. Maybe everybody else has talked to everyone. There seems to be this rising optimism that he's coming back. I think that's going to be really surprising. I'll be really, really surprised if Rudy can play inside 2 weeks of that injury. Hyperextended knee and a bone bruise is real. I know for a fact he has not run or do anything of that sort. So I think there's an optimism inside Jazz circles for Rudy to return. My feeling is that optimism is based on want, not necessarily knowledge. But I could be wrong. Maybe Rudy is going to work. I mean, they're giving him incredible treatment, and they're doing all these amazing things, and Rudy's doing everything he can. But I think that would be quite something. Quite something. So, that is the show today. That is Locked on Jazz. I'm obviously sleepy. I've had 3 hours sleep. Hopefully it was all right for you. Part of the Locked on Podcast Network. Thanks to Blue Apron for sponsoring it. If you'd like to be a part of this program, you can email me at dlock09@gmail.com. Use the promo code LOCKJAZZ to get your 3 free meals on Blue Apron. Have a good one.